What are we doing here, Jeff?
A brand new series, and this is a series that I hope will go on for the next 10 years or more.
Every year we had a season, and the season, and then they were kind of a slightly different theme each season, and then we stopped that. We started numbering the podcast, but then we actually, when we did that, we actually did the same thing. Like we had the overscan 2 years ago, and then last year we started Atari Now, and this year, this season, we moved on from just doing news, and we are doing something called what?
Fill in the blanks.
And that was a little snippet of the song you heard at the beginning. It's a song by Mike Peters of The Alarm called Fill in the Blanks. That's an unreleased song that his wife graciously gave us permission to use as the theme to our podcast, because our podcast is called Fill in the Blanks and Fill in the Blanks. And Fill in the Blanks is about us filling in the things, some things we've never done before, right, or that we've let fall through the cracks.
Or we've done before, but it needs refilling. Like, I need to do it again. Yeah.
So it needs something. So, so this time we decided to focus on making music with 8 and 16-bit computers, something we've never done before. I've tried, but I've never been able to do it. And we started – so I did the Pokey for the Atari 7800. And what did you do, Jeff?
I did the YM chip for the Atari ST. The name of it is in my presentation, so I kind of forget the exact name. The YM chip.
Both of us came up with our own PowerPoint presentations on our own that we are going to present to each other with our findings of how to make music for retro games, because that could be used in a retro game. So that's the point of this one, is the Pokey and the YM what?
The YM2149 3-channel sound chip in the Atari ST.
Which... I mean, neither one is the SID chip.
No, neither one is the SID chip.
But people still do use these chips to make chiptune music, and we are going to do that ourselves, because we're Atari guys, so we're trying to use the Atari chips to do it. So, Jeff, you have the first presentation.
I do.
For the Atari ST, so why don't we start there?
All right,
so I can see the whole thing. It looks good to me.
Now, I wonder why we can't get it bigger. Like, when I'm sharing, I can't get it bigger.
It looks pretty good to me. Okay. I mean, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, so I'm going to be looking. I guess I can look over here. My choice was to make a 3-voice YM chiptune to play in a STOS title screen for a game I have yet to create.
Right.
And I was partially successful. I think I was pretty successful, but I was only partially successful in doing everything I wanted to. I followed some pop music theory that I already knew, but filled it in by looking it up. So I looked at some books, and I looked up some AI to ask some questions with Gemini, and I kind of filled in the things I knew with some other theory that I had no idea about, and now I kind of think I got it. The intro to the tune is sort of a progression. It's a little weak to begin. It's like some piano notes. It's a standard 1-4-6-5 set of chords, and I'll explain what that is. After I did those, I added a verse that plays those same chords, but in a little differently. So the intro and verse, and then I added a chorus. I added a change to the verse to make it darker. I added a bridge. I added a change to the chorus and an ending. And like I said, I had to consult Gemini for some music theory and help with the chords. So, you had questions?
Nope. Go ahead.
Okay. Move on to the next one. Boop. Okay. The foundation of the sound. So, the environment I'm using is a STOS music creator. It's a tracker-style interface. It's not a tracker, but the interface is very tracker-like. For the YM2149, this music creator was packaged with Stoss. And on its own, it might be worth as much as Stoss was because of how well you can target this chip to make sound effects, well, music. Sound effects you can't do with it because sound effects are done in code. But the chip, the hardware constraints with the chip are it has three voices. And to make a modern-sounding song or any modern-sounding chip tune, I had to be very strategic with how I allocated those voices. The strategy was to use three-voice chords, so a chord playing all three notes at once, using the pure square waves of the Atari ST, and helping get some harmonic richness instead of percussion. So if you listen to ST games that tried to play drums, they sound like someone smacking a wet noodle on the side of a board. Okay? Sounds
just are you, by the way, I'm going to point out that you said that back in the 80s, too. Yes. Like, this was not something you were coming up with. I remember you talking like that about it.
And so what I tried to do was try to get some sort of beat in parts of the song that didn't sound like a wet noodle. And but in doing that, I created a song that sounds like it comes out of an RPG and not out of Outrun. But it's what I could do. Now, I have a video here, right here. It's just of me setting up and getting to getting into Stoss and starting up where I'd find my song in the software. So I thought I'd play it just so we have part of that video to show how it's how you get into the music creator, and I'll explain what's happening as we go. So you load up Stoss, and then after you load up Stoss, you could just go to the load in your accessories file. There will be an ACB file called music. You just load in that ACB file, and it's a basic file. You just run it. From there, you have to load in your bank of music. So I loaded in a bank of music called, it's called J something. Let me look, it's right here. So it is called JMuse 2, and there's two songs in JMuse 2. You have to get out of the bank the song that you want. So I get my Jeff Test instead of Green Day, and Green Day was a failure. Anyway, so it loads it in into all the voices here, which looks kind of similar to a tracker, but it's not. And then when you want to go play, you have to play, and then you click, and again, you select the music you want. I didn't yet play it in this video because I want to get to a little bit more of what actually is happening in the first part of this song.
But that's how you start building music.
Right, I just want to show a little bit of Stoss. I'm not going to do a lot more of Stoss at all. This is going to show it playing, but anybody can read how to use the Stoss music tracker. That's not what this is about. This is a tutorial. This is just what I did to do it. All this is done directly in Stoss without the help of Maximizer or any of those other tools that are great. This is just pure Stoss. It's to show that the Stoss music creator can make some great stuff. Even if you don't have any talent, even if you kind of just starting out, if you do, you can make some okay stuff with it, you know. Okay, so the opening progression, this is a 1-4-6-5 variation. So the vibe in this, playing pure notes, is a majestic, stable, and classic. That's why it sounds kind of like a pipe organ in a RPG. The progression C to F to A minor to G, which is 1-4-6-5, is the backbone of pop music because it balances home C, so middle C, with movement to F and emotion with the A minor. We chose whole note lengths because on a square wave chip, the long notes create the pipe organ. Like I was saying, the effect that feels grand and cinematic. Okay, that's the beginning of this one. Any questions, Steve?
No.
Okay. Okay, so the chords are, I'm not going to read all, just C major, F major, A minor, G major. So it's major, major, minor, major. So let's
play. Okay, I'm going to tell you that I do none of this in my
of course business. Not. That's when we get to yours. Yours is just pure, pure.
That's fine. I'm just saying that. My presentation is totally different than yours.
This is good because this is music theory, But I've been dealing with this for 15 years. I've been trying to learn music theory, right?
Right.
So, anyway. This is the opening. So, it's dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Okay, now, that's the opening. I'm not going to play the rest of this because it plays into the verse, and we'll get to that in a second. The verse theory. The 1-4-6-5 variation is the same as the intro, but it's faster and it's repeated to create a longer verse. It's used to build momentum, and to do that, we switch from whole notes to half notes. The psychology here is by doubling the speed of the notes and the changes, the song gains a sense of urgency and movement without actually changing the BPM. The consistency is that we keep the C to F to A minor to G as the intro, and it creates a thematic anchor to the intro. Okay? So let's play this now, which is the entire opening. And here is the same chords again. It's going to be the opening and the verses. Okay, so there's a little hit there. We're going to do that. So, the chorus. Here's the theory of the chorus. In the that all opened. In the chorus, I want to simulate a driving beat to go along with the chorus. So, kind of like a pan flute, pan flute, pan flute, pan flute, pan flute, and then like, go, 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 go. That's what I was looking for. So, we're going to simulate a beat. The problem is using one of our three voices for a drum. It's a sample here, but when I meant a drum hit, a wet noodle hit, would make our chords sound thin, and on top of thin chords, a wet noodle is hitting cardboard, okay? That's why most of the songs on the Atari ST, outside of the stuff in Bubble Bobble and stuff like that, and you know some of the better people who did it, sound like crap. When they're taking an Amiga song and putting it on the ST, it doesn't work. You had to kind of rewrite that, and they didn't rewrite them, and that's not the fault of someone who was given $25 to make a song for an ST game in the 1980s.
And like you said, I know, what you want to point out, what you just said, listening to the Retro Hour, when the guy British coders talk about how much they made for the games that they made,
I know.
I mean they were basically slave labor. Yeah. I can't believe what they went through to what they got paid to make some of those games.
Yeah, it seriously was not yet a professional industry, even though you had like Virgin and all these big companies coming in. They were paying peanuts. And raking in the dough, and the programmers are getting
nothing. I'm sure some people made some money, but your point about someone getting paid $25 for a song, I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so in our chorus, the technique is a rhythmic counterpoint. So we're going to give the voice number one, which is our bass note, a faster note length, so quarter notes. So two of those will play for every one of the other notes in the same in the same chord. So you play a chord and your first note is playing twice. So you hear it and it creates a simulated drum or a simulated beat of some sort. And okay. I kind of like it. So let's go here. Okay, so that was pretty short. I may play that again. Just hear it again. So that idea is actually used again throughout this entire song. I think in the dark verse that comes up next, I don't do it, but after that, I do in the bridge and the final chorus. But that's because when I heard that, I'm all, yeah, that sounds great. I'm going to use that.
It did sound good.
Okay, so the dark verse. So what
I had made that, I would have gone and bought myself a candy bar or something. I'd be so excited that I had made that.
I mean, when I heard it, I'm like, okay, hey, this isn't that bad. I mean, I didn't get a candy bar, but I certainly went and got an ice cream sandwich or something like that. Okay, the dark verse, which is the same verse, but in a different scale, add shadow and contrast. This is what really makes it sound like an RPG when you get to this one. The goal is the music needs tension to make the resolution feel good. So the resolution is going to come with the from the bridge and the final chorus. The technique, we shift from bright C major to an A minor scale. The harmonic secret in this is we introduced the E major chord. The G sharp in this chord creates a villainous or mysterious tension that demands the song return to the happy chorus. But of course, it doesn't turn right away because it goes into our bridge, but it still works because the bridge is in a major scale. So we will go there next. Here are the chords: A minor, D minor, F major, E major. Then it was about to go into our bridge. Okay, do not have to play that one again. And then the ascending bridge. So here's a theory about the ascending bridge. I wanted to make a bridge using the same notes and the same chords, but I wanted to break the loop of what we're doing before. So instead, the bridge acts like a reset button on everything. So we had dark, and now we're going to climb up from G to A to B to C, creating rising action. And there's a G7 ending chord that creates this cliffhanger that needs to be resolved by the ending chorus and the final. And the chorus and the ending is sped up also. We'll see that in a second. So here is the bridge. Okay, then it was going to bump, 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 and then it was going to hit our final chorus, which is a remade chorus. This is the grand finale. So we're breaking the loop of the 1-4-6-5-1-4. We're still doing the same thing, but we're going to change that chorus now to even have a galloping, I think eighth notes we're going to use here. Yeah, eighth notes. And it gallops through the chorus. It was quarter notes before. Now it's eighth. You get two notes for every one. This galloping rhythm mimics a double bass drum beat. It's the musical equivalent of flooring the gas pedal toward the end in these last eight bars of the song. And then there's a final resolution, which you're going to hear. I'm not going to stop it. We'll play it again. The final resolution is just like how, I think it was, I can't remember what band it was. It was like some band that said they never figured out how to end a song properly. It was like a band you wouldn't think of. It's because they didn't know the theory of playing the notes we're going to talk about playing at the end of a song. So I'll, I think it was like, I swear it was like Sonic Youth or something like that. Anyway, probably wasn't, but they just said that. So it was that ending that you have to play all those notes at the same time. We're going to play the whole song at once in a second. So the stinger resolution, which is that final hit, the big ending, chiptunes often end abruptly. So to make this song feel like a song, I created the final ringing chord, the C2, the C3, and the C4. This envelope, using a whole note, creates a long hardware decay, and I kind of made it decay, not as well as I wanted to blend in with a massive final chime that ends in silence. So those C's, with everyone playing a different C note, is how you'd end your rock song on stage, too. But, okay, so let's play the entire song one more time, and then we'll move on to Pokey, now that I've bored you.
I love it, Jeff. I mean, you just wrote our RPG song.
Now we yeah, that could be. RPG. That's. I mean, the thing about it is, and I want it to be. I want to make a song for the homepage for the title screen of my game, but my game is not an RPG yet. It's like, I don't know, Bloom Song.
It doesn't have to be. I'm just saying that sounds like an RPG song. Well, I look forward to any music nerds just tearing apart the stuff that you put into that.
Well, that's fine. They can tear it apart. I don't care. But listen, here's one thing about it.
This is what you figured out, though,
right? I figured out. I mean, this is the basic stuff to anyone who like took a first semester of making music, but I know nothing about it. So this is like my first semester figuring something out, right? Like, I don't know anything. That's cool. Anyway, yeah, so I bet what you're going to find out, though, is that's all I know. So next time I make another song, it's going to be like the Greg Brady House. I mean, the Brady House from the Brady movie where it was that construction was used for every other, the plans were used for every other building he made, like every little
picture. Yes.
House. Anyway.
No, I agree. Now, this is not as successful, the Pokey.
I think it's great.
It's different actually than yours. It's different than yours. So you'll see what I've got. So let me go and share it now. The Pokey
Make
music
sure to
slide.
Share a tab.
Audio.
And audio.
Sharing a tab with the audio. Okay. So.
Hey, so why is yours so big and mine was so small?
I don't know.
Maybe it's based on what I shared. Okay, anyway, it's fine. I don't care. It's fine. I just want to.
All right. So.
That's what she said.
This is not the right page, though. Let's go back and pair. Okay, so intro. Okay, so a couple of years ago, I made this game called Balance, and I think we'll just play it right now as I go. You tell me if you can hear this. We'll just make sure that you can hear that if it comes up. So can you hear that?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So a couple of years ago, when our friend Brandon passed away, I made this game called Balance. It was kind of code from an old game I could never figure out what to do with, which was this sort of pipe mania, you know, thing where you connect the pipes and then things go across. I mean, this game called Balance is about like trying to, some rules about getting the right number of stones across, and it has a couple bugs, but it's pretty much done.
I like it works well.
But what it needs is it needs a soothing, like Zen-like soundtrack to be playing. Because the whole idea was to figure out how to make balance in your life. And there's a point about like how Brandon never he never found balance. And anyway, but I need a soundtrack. And my goal for this year is to get this game done on a cartridge for you for Christmas with a Zen-like soundtrack, but I have no idea how to have music, especially Pokey music. I've done a couple things, and I'll show you what I did. When I first started playing with 7800 Basic, I made this thing called Pokey Player, and it takes the four inputs for a Pokey data, which is frequency, waveform, volume, and duration. And it allows you to, then I added a couple things called attack and decay. Duration is related to the attack and decay, or constant. And you'll see you can kind of set some parameters with this. You see here, you kind of use a joystick, you move it around, you set some parameters for frequency, waveform, volume, duration, and then also whether you're doing attack or decay. Okay. Oh, there's also silence, which occurs between every time it plays it.
Attack is up, decay is down, and
it's yeah.
Is sustained, right? Like
sustain is sustained, exactly.
It's constant.
So I built it so constant, right? And I built this, and it let me kind of play with the sounds, but it didn't really help me make music because ultimately you were just creating one sound, right, at a time. So that didn't work for me. So the next thing I did was I looked at Compute's third book of Atari has this page in it for as a note table. I don't know how big it is if you can see it, but it has for in the 8-bit column, it's got octave 3, 4, 5, and 6. So almost all the notes in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th octave are represented by the Pokey. And all you needed to do was translate those notes into data. which I made a bunch of consts in Atari 7800 BASIC, and then made those the notes. So then I could make, so then I could take it and create sort of a song running in succession. So like basically taking a bunch of these Poké Player instances and playing them one after another, and I made a song that sounded like this. This is a version of Ride of the Valkyries with using this method. You get the idea, right?
It
sounds like it, but it doesn't sound like what I want it to sound like. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, it's okay, but what I found out though, like earlier this year, was that the Atari 7800, and this has been in Atari 7800 BASIC for a long time. I just didn't do a really good job of reading all the documentation. There's a tracker called RMT Tracker that can build songs for the Poké, you can download RMT Tracker, and then Atari 7800 BASIC can load in these RMT files. And what got me excited was I found this this version of Girl You Want by Devo, by RDE Fabry on YouTube. And I mean, listen to it. Hopefully you can hear this. So you hear it? It's a pretty good version of the song,
right,
coming out of the Poké, right? Yeah. So that might be like, okay, can I make something like that? So after a little bit of around, I made my first song using RMT Tracker, and it's like this. It sounds like to me like the sounds in the background soundtrack from Space Mountain.
It sounds like a wave of aliens coming to attack.
Sure, it's a fine sound, but it's not music in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, but
right?
You've created something that would sound really cool in an arcade game when you want the wave of aliens to attack. So
sure, okay, but so anyway, how RMT Tracker works is each line is a note played by an instrument that you load in. So there's a bunch of instrument files that come with it. You load an instrument, and then you'll see in the first column is a note, and it's a note and the octave, and then it's got the second column says 00. That is the instrument. The next one is volume. Next one is the volume,
right?
And then the third one is the volume, and the fourth one is the length. The thing is, this it says up here music speed 10, 10, 1, so it'll default to 10, whatever 10 means. I think I discovered what it actually means, but it took me a little while to figure it out.
So almost all trackers work the same way as that, which is good. It's not
right, which is
so
good.
If you wanted to take these skills and put them to like a tracker that was on using ST or the Amiga sound chip or whatever, or the mod trackers, it works the same way. You load in your patch, and then you pick the note you want to play in that patch. Same thing.
Right. Now, one thing that you'll notice is, so let me play this again just so I can show you. This final column here is usually for effects. So I was reading about RMT Tracker, like a general documentation. There's all sorts of cool effects you can do in the SID and the Amiga, but I think on the Poké, it's only speed, like how long it lasts, and that's it. Got so it. it's a little limited. Some of them have like different ways that blends between the notes and stuff, and it's really cool. But it might exist, but I couldn't find a way to actually input it here. But I did find an instrument called C64 synth portmanteau, which I spelled wrong on here. And I was excited about it, but then I listened to it. I mean, the people listening to this as a podcast are going to turn
poor,
it off.
Poor people.
I mean, they were turning it off a long time ago, but anyway, so that's that. I'm like, okay, well, that's not really what I want. So here's the data from the Valkyrie. I decided I wanted to try to take this data that I had built for my version of Ride of the Valkyries and put it into RMT Tracker. So this is what the data look like. It's basically the note, a bunch of data about how long it plays, whether you're doing attack or decay. And it could play on all, it could play on all four voices if you wanted to. It's just very, you know, like I can transcribe piano rolls if I want to, right. But it still sounds like, you know, someone tinking on the keyboard. It doesn't really sound like a song. So for RMT Tracker, I could not figure out where the notes actually were. And I'm sure this pattern of notes that I'm showing you right here, this is for octave 3 and 4. I'm positive this makes complete sense to someone, but not to me at all.
So
right?
The reason this laid out this way is so that you can play it live. Now, I don't know the layout. They do that. You could type it live if you want to and make stuff.
Sure.
To me, it makes more sense to type notes into the roll, right? Like,
yeah, makes it impossible. So it must be how a piano keyboard is laid out. But I needed this cheat sheet for every note that I typed in every single song that I did. Yeah. So this is sort of a painstaking approach, but it did save my butt.
I'm asking question. So it doesn't allow you to just type in C sharp, like C.
No, not maybe four. It does, and I couldn't figure out how. Okay. Anytime you type on the keyboard, it brings up one of the notes. So maybe there's an option to change the keyboard layout to something where you can do that, but I couldn't find it. So not by default. So there's this site with piano rolls, this piano letter notes. I think you showed me this, Jeff. And it's got a bunch of songs laid out as a piano roll where it kind of gives you the timing for how long a note plays and then where it plays and what octave it is. This is what I used to do the original Orion Assault version of Ride of the Valkyries. So I went back to this to try to redo it. And then I'll show you. So in the tracker data, I figured out like the note is in the first column, the instrument is in the second column, the volume is the third column, and then the speed or length is the fourth. And again, that fourth one is supposed to be effect, but I couldn't find any effects besides volume. So then here's my first version, and you hear that it just kind of sounds like what I wanted to sound like. Okay, so you can kind of hear the song in there a little bit, but it's not really there. There's no timing, right? There's just no timing in there. So I also saw somewhere, and I don't know where it was. Who knows? It could have been ChatGPT for all I know. Told me that I could make a poor man's harmony by simply putting the same note mm-hmm. played simultaneously in one octave lower would give it a mm-hmm. harmony. And so I tried that just to see if it worked. And again, music nerds can tear this apart. I'm just trying it.
It's cool.
So that's closer, right?
That sounds uh-huh. pigeon, man. That sounds really good.
So it's using a different, it just this pure 9, and it kind of gives it a little right. a little alien sound yeah. with the original note. And so it's kind of, I'm like that. Well, I want that. Okay, that's cool. That's kind of what I want for my game, right? That's right. That's better than what I had before. So then I tried to go a little bit further, and this is a more alien version one. You get the idea. Yeah. It now uses two different instruments, it uses the third instrument. I think is a drums, but it's but you can't really hear it.
Hi-hat.
And it uses it's hi-hat drum.
Okay. Okay.
It, none of these things really sound like you would expect.
Well, so the reason is on the Pokey, it's not can't use samples. So it, on all the other ones,
right? It's not samples. It's all relative. So anyway, for Atari 7 Basic, I don't really get into it. But what you need to do is you've got to add support for RMT Tracker. It loads into a particular memory address. You have to make sure that you set it for the right speed, NTSC or PAL, and then you need to export the file. As an RMT file. And then you need to run this conversion program that exists in the newest version of 700 Basic. Not on my two older ones, but the newest one had this RMT to ASM, which converts all the data from RMT to RMTA. And what that means is a regular RMT file can only be played at memory location 4000. And the A1 can be transportable anywhere you need it to. And I need it to be transportable, I think. I suspect it need to be transportable. So that's why I wanted to do it. You load the file in like this. I had to put it at the bottom of my program. And then you play it using this play RMT command. And this is what it sounds like. And it's not exactly what I expected. You'll see. See, and my expectation there is like, that's not, I think that's the last one that had the drums in it.
Right.
You couldn't hear the drums when it was played in RMT Tracker, but you could hear them here. And I'm wondering if all the instruments are played at the same volume. There's something odd about it that I need to try to figure out, but it did play. So it was a good sign that I could, you know, do something with RMT Tracker and get it to play in 700 Basic. Okay. So then this is the cheat sheet. So when we were driving home from VCF, SoCal 2026. I was telling my kid about my struggles with RMT Tracker and making music. And since he's actually a music student, he graduated or part of his degree was in music, he made me this cheat sheet. And the cheat sheet kind of shows how to make certain chords using the notes, and then a flow chart where you choose certain chords to kind of make a melody together. I'm still not sure that I quite got it, but I did use it and I made this final track of my own, which sounds like this. So it's very repetitious.
Wow, but it's good.
But it sounds okay, right?
I love how all four voices come in. It sounds great.
It is. Now, if I can get that to work in 700 Basic, that would be great, right? So that's what I got. And in fact, I'm going to continue on that one myself and try to build out a song. That's definitely not going to work for balance, but I think I know enough about RMT Tracker to go back and try to make a song. So what I did, though, was I took your song and transcribed it into Pokey. And it doesn't work exactly because there's some differences. Like, for example, I only wanted to use a single set of 256 of 256 bytes. So you only get 64 lines. So I couldn't finish the whole thing in this version. But I'll show you that that some of it sounds good. This part right here is where I told you I thought it sounded like Temple of Abshai trilogy or And that's as far as it got.
So there's some differences there.
Yeah,
I think we could make a song that sounds really good
the songs didn't play correctly in 700 Basic. What I found, one thing that I thought might have been the issue, was that I didn't read the RTFM, the Atari 700 Basic manual, to see that it only supports RMT 1.2. So I downloaded RMT 1.24 or something. So this still might not be right. I might have to even go back further. And when I played these things, they sounded a little bit better, but not what I expected. See, it's really like it doesn't, like something is off.
It still sounded good, though, but I understand you're missing a voice.
Yeah. You hear it somehow. Maybe it's the data being exported, something. I have to check it out and try to figure out why it doesn't play correctly. But there's other songs that have been exported that play perfectly fine. So it's like something I'm doing, or I'm using something that's not supported. There's something.
Well, I will tell you one thing. It's no surprise that songs we have created don't work and don't sound good.
No, this is true. All right, I'm stopping sharing now. So we can go back to our thing. Hold on. Let me. Oh, there. There you are.
You have a lovely beverage, Steve?
I have a lovely beverage. This is a La Croix. La Croix. I think it's a pamplemousse. No, black raspberry. Black raspberry.
I have black coffee in my stepbrother's mug this time. Black
That's fantastic.
In my stepbrother's.
Jeff, so that was fun this time. It was really great to get something new done. What do you want to do for next time?
Next time, I think we've pick out a game from our Flash book that we know we can do quickly in both the ST and the 7800. Make a title screen for it that uses the song. And then, if possible, you know, if you can play the song and get sound effects in your game at the same time, like I might have to target the STE to do that. You might be able to do that anyway with a
Pokey. Yeah, because you can play the Pokey and the T at the same time.
Yeah, that's the thing. So there's something I could do. I want to try that. So for next time, it's like we got the song done. I may just pick my song so I don't have to use yours. Just do it and then get a title screen for the game and get that game we want to do. It's called Balloon Saw. Let's get that up and done for next time. So we're trying to give, like, push ourselves a little harder every time. Like, it's called fart lick. You know what fart lick is? It's not licking farts. Fart lick is a German term for it's like for doing interval running or training. You just pick something out in the distance and say, I'm going to run as fast as I can to that. And then you get there and you pick out another thing in the distance and you say you're going to go get to that thing next. And that's
that idea.
This is our fart lick.
It is. We did it for this time, and now next month's fart lick is going to be the make it actual game, transcribe one of our games with a Cracktro title screen.
Sounds good. Okay, the vertical blank.
Into the vertical blank and fill in those blanks.
Fill in those blanks. Da na na nunt. Da na na nunt.
Children of the Silicon Revolution,
X-Generation,
script-by-to-fight
the console and computer wars,
a product of analog chug,
became of age
in the 80s,
believing that could affect the world
eight bits at a time.
Armed joysticks,
full-stroke keyboards,
Jolt Cola,
and MTV haircuts,
proceeded into the vertical blank.
There we stayed up late at night,
devising incantations from
rulebooks,
beginners
all-purpose
symbolic instruction code,
video games with a match,
programming with some fuse,
it's an infinite possibility of the digital world exploded,
internet age to come.
We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank. are the forgotten generation.
A misplaced 20th century.
When birth rates were as low as expectations of the future.
You lived under the threat of constant nuclear annihilation.
Playing outside, but always inherently knowing the future was doomed.
We are the second half of generation X.
We were some of the first to play video games,
program home computers, and record CDs to cassette mixtapes.
Our generation was nourished by new wave, imperfect punk rock, and John Hughes movies.
We built Web 1.0 around our childhood 8-bit programming skills.
They call us Gen X.
We prefer the vertical blank generation.
Where magic happens between the lines.
Because that's where we live, love, and thrive.
We are Generation Atari.
The vertical blank is the swing of lines on frame, and the first line of the net's on screen calculated to display. It's a little between the lines, invisible, yet all small, seen in a void, what matters there is never seen.
Only through experience.
The blank is an omnivore force, taking on its own reality.
It's the twin of locations of our memories, greatest fears, and our most terrible losses.
We were born, and it's now around for once, and there may be no escape. All spirit lines have been written. It's time to enter the vertical blank.
Next, how you calculate, prepare data, feed blank, ending.